Kof Tes Sivon, Tuesday, the 5th of July, Rabbi Binyamin Grun, Velo Sier Kokorach, Vecho Adosso.
Good morning, everyone. The topic we'd like to discuss is, it's not a quotation from a Musa Sefer, it's a quotation from a pasuk in this week's parasha. The pasuk says that after Korach, the terrible story with Korach and his whole gang, the 250 Sanhedrin, the Sanhedrin, Korach got swallowed up in the ground, and then what happened to the other 250 Rashi Sanhedrin, the pasuk says that there was a shred, that they got punished with a fire burnt them up, and then the HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Eliezer to go and take the machtos. Which they all wanted to be Kainim Gedoinim, the Pasuk says. They wanted to serve Keteris. They wanted to serve the HaKadosh Baruch Hu with Keteris. So they all bought machtos, all bought a gold macht, a golden shovel. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu to tell Eliezer HaKoyen to pick up those machtos. Eliezer HaKoyen. To pick up those machtos. And what should do with those machtos? Melt them down and place them on the Mizbeach. But also, Rikuye Pachim Tzipui Lo Mizbeach. That you should place them as an ornament around the Mizbeach, and the Apostle says, why? Zikaro in Ibn Yisrael, there should be a remembrance for Klal Yisrael. Leman Ashla Yikrav Ishzor, a strange person shouldn't come close, Ashaloy Mizera Aaron, who's not an Aaron, who's not part of the Sheva Kuna, to be Lahatik Toris of Ne Hashem. And then the Apostle says, Velo Yiyak Kairach Vichadosoi, one should not be like Kairach and his Edo and his group, Kashadib Hashem Biyad Moishelo. That's what the Apostle is saying. And the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that's what we'd like to speak about. The Gemara says, what does this pasuk say? It says the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Kol amachzik b'machlekes, someone who supports a machlekes, says the Gemara, over b'loisase, he's over on the loisase, just like you're not allowed to eat nevela, you're not supposed to eat nevela, all the other isurim of lavim in the Torah is a loisase, one of the loisases, the Gemara says, Pashas HaGemara says, if someone stokes up a machlekes, encourages a machlekes, supports a machlekes, he's like, oh, that's it. So before Rosh HaGemara Sanhedrin, but we're going to see it's not so simple. But that the Pashas HaGemara is, and the Chofetz Chaim in the beginning of Sefer Chofetz Chaim, when he goes and speaks to Baal Lachs, Lashon Hara, so he gives us a rundown of all the possible lavim one could be over when he speaks Lashon Hara. And he counts one of the lavim as like, yeah, Perek Vahadosei, because unfortunately, we don't have to give too many examples. When there's a machlekes, when there's Lashon Hara, there's usually a machlekes involved. There's usually a fight, there's a rift between communities, between families, wherever it is, that's Lashon Hara. And, of course, the love like Iyek Kerev Chadosai is also involved. So, when we come to this parasha, Parashas Korach, I think it's appropriate that we at least be mischazik in this inyan of not being machzik with machlekes. I saw a Chassidish of Shatel. He says in the Pasuk, it says later on that the Pasuk says, Ubnei Korach lo yimesu. It's not this week's Pasha. The children of Korach, even though they were initially swallowed up in the earth with Korach and his whole family landed up in the Pasuk says that. We see how bad Machlokes is that even the young children, Yonki Shadayim, got swallowed up and all the Rechush, all their possessions, all got swallowed up in the pit. Nevertheless, the children of Korach lo yimesu. And Chazal say, what does that mean? What happened? That while they were in the pit, the Shulchan HaKadosh Baruch Hu made the platform for them that they could get out of the Gehenna, and they were zeicha to survive the death of the family of Korach. So Chassid Shulchan says, of Nei Korach, we find the post, the Chazal say, B'necho elu talmidecho. So he says, Talmidim of Korach lo yimesu. Unfortunately, there's plenty of Talmidim of Korach throughout the generations. There's always Talmidim of Korach, those hot-headed people who make trouble throughout the generations, and they're massive of machlokes that still exist amongst us. And we can't say Jewish history has a good reputation for that there's been plenty of machlokes, and unfortunately they have ruined communities and families and so on. Like I said, if we're in the parasha of Korach, at least we should try to be mischazik and understand what this is all about, and not to be machzik b'machlokes. And the truth is, I just want to point out that when we're discussing, when we're learning, trying to understand the machlokes of Korach, it's not so poshut. People think Korach was a hot-headed person who wanted who's interested in raving machlekes, Rabbi Yeruchim Levavitz, the Mashgiach of Meir, he has a whole shmuz in explaining that it's not as simple as it sounds, even though Chazal say quite terrible things about Korach. But he says initially, Korach had a genuine, legitimate request. He wanted, like the Pasuk says, Kala Eidah Kulam Kedoshim. He says that really, Korach, what did he wanted more Kedosh, he wanted to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He brings a rife from the Mishnah, the famous Mishnah in Ovis. The Mishnah says in Ovis, what's my place, Shem Shomai? Hillel B'Shamai. And the contrast of Shalom Shem Shomai says the Mishnah, Korach Chol Adosim. So he asks, Hillel B'Shamai, what's Hillel B'Shamai? Hillel B'Shamai, they were arguing in Halach. There was nothing, there was no personal attack on each other. They were discussing all the Halachas which were arguing in the Torah. There was nothing personal involved. Korach Chol Adosim, we find in Chazal that Korach came along mocking Moshe Rabbeinu and making, poking fun and being a late, like we'll see soon. There was a clear personal attack on Moshe Rabbeinu. How can we compare the two things? What the only difference is if it was the Shem Shemayim, not the Shem Shemayim. Says Rabbi Yeruchim, yes. Initially, Korach came with a legitimate, he came with a clear request. He wanted more Kedusha. He wanted to come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was a clear and emissary request of coming close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There was, says Rabbi Yeruchim, there was a slight, minute difference between the two machlokesim. Hillel v'Shamai were called kol l'shem shemayim. However, in Korach, there was an element of shalei l'shem shemayim. There was a small element of not going with completely l'shem shemayim, and that ruined from everything. That led to disaster, and that sent him, like we see, till his terrible punishment, he was thrown down in this world, he was taken to Gehenna, sh'ol tachas, like Chazal say. And that led him to, like we say, like if he became a let, he was kaifa. Chazal say he was a kaifa baker. He denied Torah min Hashemayim. He said Moshe Rabbeinu made it up all himself. He was Moshe Badayu. Moshe is a fool. He's making up. It's nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. But he says, initially speaking, the starting point of Korach was the Shem. Well, it was not Shem Shemayim. There was a legitimate request. And there's also a rhyme for that because we find that the Chazal tell us that Moshe Rabbeinu told Korach in the beginning of the parasha, Rav lechem bnei Levi, why are you coming along requesting kahuna v'kashrut gam kahuna? You are Levim. You have a job as Levim. You also have a job in the Beis Hamikdash. You want also kahuna? That you don't need. That Rav lechem. And again, Moshe Rabbeinu was being attacked by this whole Korach and all his crew, and he was answering correct to them. Nevertheless, we find in Parshas Vayeschanan when Moshe Rabbeinu was pleading to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to enter Eretz Yisrael, Vayeschanan el Hashem, he wanted to come to Eretz Yisrael. Said HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, after doubling hundreds of times, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to him, Ravloch, it's enough, you've davened enough. So say Chazal, it's a midah k'neged midah. That you said to Korach, Ravlochem b'nei Levi, you also Ravloch, don't daven to me anymore. So the Leib Chassman asked, said, what's the comparison? Moshe Rabbeinu was trying to get to Eretz Yisrael. He should be punished with what he told Korach. Korach were coming; they were coming to bash Moshe Rabbeinu with this, like Chazal tell us. And he told them, Rav Lachem, he was answering them correctly. That's the middle connect. What was it? Was as if there was a tiny Moshe Rabbeinu telling them, Rav Lachem Levi, it's enough for you, Levi. Said Rav Chassan, yes, there is in the Kuda, there was a tiny Moshe Rabbeinu to a certain extent, meaning. True, Moshe Korach was coming with all his tainas, all his complaints. It's not fair. We also want to be Kodim, don't want to become Korach and Hashem. And they led them to be, like we said, they were Kodim because they were Litzonos, they were making fun of Moshe Rabbeinu Mechule. But nevertheless, there was a legitimate request of steiging, of growing in Avodas Hashem. To tell someone who's growing in Avodas Hashem, Rav Lachem, stop over there, that's incorrect. He should not use that terminology and say, stop over there. That's not right. He should have explained it maybe in a different way and told them that Aaron HaKohen, he's got the Chelikuna. But to tell a person who's trying to grow in Avodas Hashem, Rav Lachem, stop right over there, that's incorrect. And that's why, Midah K'neged Midah, when he was requesting going to Eretz Yisrael, he was told, Rav Lach, you can't daven, it's enough. It's a Midah K'neged Midah, what he told Korach. So we see that that Korach initially, like we said, was coming with a clear timer, but nevertheless, he fell down a slippery slope until he was actually, like Chazal say, was a kofer baker. And there's a very interesting Chazal that the Chazal say, Moishav leitzim lo yoshav zu Korach. Korach was a late. And it's just also part of this love of Layir Korach Chadosoi is to understand how what Litzonus can do to a person. Korach came along with the whole sob story, Chazal say. The Yalka brings down famously the story that he went around campaigning when he wanted to persuade Klal Yisrael to come on inside. So what did he do? He went around and telling them a whole sob story. And to tell them how you see Moshe Rabbeinu, it's all distorted, it's all fabricated, it's nothing to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We heard Aseres HaDibros, whatever Moshe Rabbeinu is telling us, it's all made up. What is this story? And it just brings out, and I just want to bring it down, because you see what Halitzonus can make a person be completely off the mark. You can't, there's no rational thinking. He said, he told them a story of the Almana. He had a poor widow living in his neighborhood. A poor widow living in his neighborhood with two young girls, Chazal say. And so Korach said, and this poor woman, she wanted to support her family. So what? She had a field. She had a field, so she started to plant. She started to plow. So the Chazal started off. She started to plow. What did she plow? Well, she took a shoy and a chamoy. She took an ox and a chamoy and started plowing the field. Came Moshe Rabbeinu knocking the door. He said, I'm sorry, you can't do that. You can't use those two animals together. You can't do that. You can't use the two animals together. You've got to use each animal separately. So, okay. So the poor woman said, okay, I'm going to accept that. If that's what you tell me, I'm going to do that. Fine. So she goes and plants, and then eventually she has some crop growing. And then what happens is, she gets a knock on the door while there's harvest going on, and Moshe Rabbeinu tells her, you should know something. You have to be careful to leave leket, and shikho, and peyo. All the anim are going to come along, and they have a right to take produce from your field. So this poor man says, if that's what you tell me, I'll have to do that. It's tikkun all of a sudden. And Korach carries on, and getting people excited, and says, what happens next? He's even more excited. She gets another knock on the door. After she's harvested everything, she gets a knock on the door. Moshe Rabbeinu, Aaron comes along knocking, says, I'm sorry, Mrs. Almona. Truma, you got to give me the truma. I'm a kohen. You got to do good truma. Okay, I'll be meek with you. I'll give you one. There's different shurim of truma. Okay, I'll give you a small amount. You have to give me the most amount of truma. And then the next a day later, she gets another knock on the door. Who's it? Moshe Rabbeinu. My Sirishan comes to the Levi. Korach says, you see what's going on over here? You see how Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron HaKohen are catering. These rabbis are only catering for themselves. But she's not finished then. Korach is not finished. What happens afterwards? She says, you know what, I'm just going to get rid of this field. I'm just going to buy two little sheep, and I won't have these issues with taking care of this field. I'll have two sheep, I'll have some bull, I'll have some, maybe possibly some land, some milk, and that's how I'll be able to support my family. Fine. So she goes to the market, she sells the field, and she buys two sheep. She gets two sheep. What happens then? She starts having children. She gets another knock on the door. Who's at the door this time? Aaron HaKohen. Aaron HaKohen says, Bechor. The Bechori comes to the Kohen, the oldest firstborn comes to the Kohen, that's mine. So she said, okay, I'll give you the Bechori, fine. At least I have some other sheep. But then she starts shearing the wool. Who comes then? Aaron HaKohen comes again, and he says, excuse me, Rishis HaGeiz, the first bit of the wool, it comes to the Kohen, and you have to give the Kohen, I'm a scholar. So she's really stunned, but then she says, you know what, I've just had enough of all of this. I'm just going to shech these two sheep, says Korach. This is Korach relating the whole story. He says, I'm going to shech these two sheep, I'll have at least lamb chops and finish, and then we'll be happy. And you know, what will happen afterwards? I have no idea, says Korach. She shechs the sheep, that's not yet finished. She gets another look in the door. Who's there? Aaron HaKohen again. Because one of the manas kuna is Zroya, L'chayim, and Keva. There's three parts of the best parts. There's a mitzvah of manas kuna, it's supposed to be Zroya, L'chayim, and Keva. You give it to the Kohen. So she says, she says, you know what, just take it. And she sits on the side and says, Korach, that's the end of the story of Korach. And this is how he goes around the whole night, talking around and explaining to Klal Yisrael, you see how Moshe Rabbeinu is, they're okay, they're not busy about you, they're not interested in you, they're just interested about themselves. Now, if you would have been there, you say, stop there a second, say, what's going on over there? Is that a true, is this a true story? Could it possibly be a true story? There's so many questions on the story itself, it doesn't make a drop of sense. And nevertheless, Korach managed to persuade Klal Yisrael, so can clearly say, he persuaded Klal Yisrael that they should also be on his side. First of all, was there an Amona in the Midbar? Could it be possible that someone in the Midbar didn't have what to eat? What did Klal Yisrael see every day in the Midbar? Their mom, how could it be that? Well, he said there was a poor woman, she had nothing to support herself. There's mom, every person, every Jew had mom. Sorry? There's no, that's another problem. Where was the field? What she had? She owned her oasis in the Midbar. Well, what happened over there? How did she have a field in the Midbar? There's no such thing, and only that, there's another problem. Leket shikha and peyo, Moshe Rabbeinu came along and said, Leket shikha and peyo, the Pasuk says clearly it's only Chayav wants to enter the Eretz Yisrael. Only when they come to Eretz Yisrael. So what's Korach talking about? And nevertheless, Klal Yisrael fell into this all its honest. And we see what the power of Litzon is, how a person, once as a leitz could, we can't, there's no rational thinking. Like the Mesuzah Shalom says, a leitz is as if it's a shield smeared with oil, and any, the Mesuzah Shalom's comparison to a shield, that if you shoot an arrow, it just falls away. Litzon is a person, cannot penetrate. You can't penetrate rational thinking. A person who's a leitz, you could say whatever you want. If you have an agenda, you could campaign and do whatever you want, and people forfeit. And that's part of Layuah Kerek Hadassah. So you have to remember that too. Not to fall into this terrible trap, like we said, even though initially there wasn't such a bad request, but he fell into this terrible avera of being kofa be'ikah, b'chul, and he landed up in Gehenna. Now going back to this pasuk, Layuah Kerek Hadassah. That's really what we want to speak about. We said it's a love. The Gemara says it's a love. But the truth is, it's not so poshut. It's not poshut at all. If you learn Rashi in the Pasuk clearly says that it's not a love. Rashi says that, Rashi says a few words. What does it mean, v'layyek k'kayv chadosoy? Kadesh layyek k'yach. The Pasuk doesn't mean, and it's a similar command, and don't be like k'yach. The Pasuk is saying, place these rikuyipach, and take the shovels, and place them around the mizbeach, in order that you won't land up like Korach. So there's no tzivui, there's no love. Oh, whenever there's a tzivui, when there's a clear command from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, let's take the love of the Seichel Konovela. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is saying, don't eat Nevela. That's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us. Yeah, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is not telling us, says Rashi. Rashi's saying that. He's not telling us, and don't be like Korach. He's telling us, and place these things in order, Kadesh Leike Korach. Says the Mephoshim and Rashi, that Rashi holds that the Gemara in Sanhedrin, says, Kol ha-machzik v'machleikis oivu b'lo yisaseh, it's not kipshutis and asmachta, and you're talking about oivu love. There's no love over if someone's machzik v'machleikis, it's a terrible thing, but the Gemara doesn't mean that's a real love. It's not comparable to other love in the Torah. It's asmachta b'amu. That's what Rashi takes off. Now there's a very interesting Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot is Shoyrish Ches. The Rambam also goes with this shita that love, Layia Kerev Chadosa is not a love. The Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvot, he goes through all the Tariyag Mitzvot, but before he does that, before he calculates the Tariyag Mitzvot, he has 14 Sharoshim. He has Arba Esrei Sharoshim, where he explains how he came to his calculation. Because there's different Minyan Mitzvot, there's different Rishonim, there's other Rishonim, the Bahag, he argues a few times on the Bahag. The Bahag has different ways of calculating 630 Mitzvot. And the Rambam puts down 14 principles, how he came to his calculation of 630 mitzvahs. And in the 8th Shoyrish, he says as follows. He says that the Bahag counts lo yekoy v'adosoy as a love. Says the Rambam, that's not true. It's not a love. He says, v'chein omru, lo yekoy v'adosoy v'shlida. It doesn't mean it's not a tzivri. It's not a command that you shouldn't be like Korach. It's rather telling you a story that he's going to explain what it means in a second. What do you see? He says it means as follows. Shehu Yis'aleh Sipa Lonu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, Shekom Yishayachal Hakun, a very interesting Pshat, the Rambam says, Pshat in the Pasuk. He says, this is the Pshat of the Pasuk, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is telling us, that someone is Cholek al HaKun, someone who disagrees and argues on the Kun, the Yoyre Bo Lo Yichal Bo Mashe Giyah B'Korach V'Adosai, Min HaBliya V'Astreifa. Says the Rambam, very interesting Pshat. He says, the Pasuk is telling us, not telling us a command, and don't be like Korach, on the contrary. The Pasuk is telling us, and you won't be like Korach HaDosai. Korach, what was Korach's punishment? He got swallowed up in the earth. Or the 250 people got burnt b'sreifa. The Pasuk is telling us, if someone eventually will act like Korach, he will not be like Korach HaDosai. Avon omnom niyev onshoi kashadiba Hashem b'yad Moshe. His oinish will be kashadiba Hashem b'yad Moshe. What does that mean? So Rashi already brings down that the oinish of someone who's cholek al kuna is someone in the later generations would go ahead and disagree and fight against the kuna and decide he wants to be a kohen gadol. He won't suffer like Korach HaDosai. What would his oinish be? Asher dib Hashem biyad Moshe. Say Chazal, what does that mean? What was the story with the hand of Moshe? What was the hand of Moshe? In Parsha Shmois in Sneh, Moshe Rabbeinu was choshev b'chsherim. He put his hand into his cheik, into his lap, and it turned to be in Saras. Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, says the Rambam, the Pashat, the Pashat and the Pasuk is not saying, and don't be like Korach. The Pasuk is saying, if, and you won't be like Korach. You won't be like Korach, you won't suffer like Korach, bibli or bistrefa. Rather, the punishment will be a punishment of tzaras. That's what the Pasuk is saying. The Pasuk is telling us that even though Korach and his group and his gang, they suffered terribly, they were swallowed up in the earth, and they were burnt, that won't happen again. The punishment of some b'cholik al-akuna, says the Rambam, that is what the Pasuk is telling us. He will only suffer tzaras. So the Ramban is he writes a sagas on the Ramban. On Sefer Mitzvot, he says a very strange way of explaining the pasuk. That's how you explain the pasuk. You read the pasuk yourself, you'll see that's a very strange way to explain the pasuk. The pasuk says, place these rikuy pachim, take these machdis, place them around the mizbech, as is occurring. And you won't be punished like Moshe Rabbeinu. If the Rambam, okay, the Rambam understood that the love is not a love min haTorah. So that's a smachta. He carries on clearly. He says that the love of the Torah, the Gemara in Sanhedrin that we mentioned earlier on, that the Gemara says says the Rambam zewal sada smachta. It's not a real love. It's not a real love. It's just the Chazal. Sometimes they tell us droshes in the pasuk, but it's not the real pshat in the pshutei shel mikra. Says the Ram, what is the pshutei shel mikra? The pshutei shel mikra is that you won't suffer like Korach. That's what the pasuk says. Well, a year Korach does say you won't suffer. Someone else who will come and argue against the kohen won't suffer like Korach. His punishment will be far less. He'll only get saras. Says the Ramban, that's a very strange way of explaining the pasuk. Why didn't he explain? What he means to ask is, why didn't he explain the pasuk like Rashi? Rashi says, also argues on the Shittas Rishonim, who hold that there's a love, a clear love of being massive machlekes. Nevertheless, he says a more simple pasuk. Place these rikuyim pachim on his bech in order that you won't end up being like Korach, kadesh leiv b'Korach. Why does the Rambam say it's just a strange pshat in the pasuk? It needs an explanation. So I saw the Meshech Chochma. The Meshech Chochma asks this kasha to the Rambam. He says it's very strange. The Rambam is giving us a very strange interpretation of the pasuk. If you read, and he's saying that's the Pshutei Shel Mikra. The Pshutei Shel Mikra is how the Rambam was explaining himself, and that needs an explanation. So he says there's another Rambam in Sefer Mitzvot which gives us, which enlightens us to understand why the Rambam did this Pshat pasuk. He says the Rambam in Mitzvot Loisase Mem Hei. He quotes this pasuk and he also says that the Pshat of Pshat in the pasuk is like Rashi. He says the Pshat of Pshat in the pasuk is not a love, correct, and it's ordered to be mafchit. It's to scare us that we shouldn't be massive b'machloikus in order that we shouldn't end up like Korach. Nevertheless, Chazal came along and they minimized the oinish. He said, well, when we find a comparison like this, we find the Moshe, he says, in the pasuk, it says, ayin tachas ayin. What does ayin tachas ayin mean? If someone hits someone else's eye, the literal translation of the pasuk is, you hit someone else's eye, his eye gets knocked out too. That's how you'd read the pasuk. An eye instead of an eye. You hit someone else's eye out, you get your eye knocked out too. That's what the Pshat of the pasuk is. Come along, Chazal. What did Chazal say? That's not the Pshat of the pasuk. They say the literal translation is not, that's incorrect. What does Ayin Tachas Ayin mean? Momoi. Chazal tell us, it doesn't mean you actually knock out someone else's eye. You pay the value of what the eye is worth. So it says the Meshech Chochma, Remei Simcha, that's what's happening in this pasuk too. The literal translation of the Pshat of Shemikra is not enough. It's telling us that a person should always remember, that's why it places his requiem pachim on his mizbeach, that a person should always be cautious not to be choynik on the corner, in order he shouldn't land up being like Korach. Literally that would mean that Korach, you'll suffer like Korach, you'll suffer the consequences like Korach, you'll land up in the earth, or land up in Strafer. Comes the Rambam says, no. The Chazal came along, the Ruach Kotchum, and they explained the pasuk that you won't suffer as bad as Korach, you won't be bolua on the karaka, you won't be swallowed up in the earth, you won't be nisraf, you won't be burnt, rather you'll get saras. And he explains, the Meshech Chochma says something nice, he says there is a comparison between saras and what happened to Moshe and to Korach. Because what happens by saras, one of the biggest ancient of a mitzvah, what happens? Bolda the Eshev! He's got to sin himself, that's the Chazal tell us, that Uzziyo, it's a Parshan Tanakh, Uzziyo HaMelech, he's a Melech Yehuda, and he wanted to serve Keteris in the base of Mikdash. What happened? He had Saras. That's Rashi quotes that. He got punished with Saras, and Ad Yom Moisai, he had to sit, he couldn't be in his palace, he had to sit, Chazal says he sat in the base of Forest, he was distanced from all his family and his relations. He couldn't be with them, he was detached. What do we find by Korach V'Chadosai? What does the Pasuk HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? He bought L'mitaych Eidah. A person who makes machlekes, what happens? A person who makes machlekes is making a rift. He's making problems within the community, within families, wherever it is. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the punishment of a Baal machlekes is, he bought the Mitaych Eidah. Distance yourself from this Eidah Ra. So too, at Saras, the punishment, says the Isumech, the Meshech Chochma, it makes sense that he gets Saras, because that way he'll be separated, he won't be able to cause trouble anymore. And he says, also, find the Chazal, Mitzorah is Choshev Kameis. Metzora is considered like a dead person. In various halachas, you find the Metzora is choshev kmeis. So there is an element which is similar to that Korach got destroyed. Someone who's a Metzora also has that. So says the Meshacham, that's how the Rambam learned the Pasuk. About the Poshut literal translation, he learned like Rashi, that it's not coming to say love, it's coming to scare us and tell us that we should always remember not to be Masik Machlokes, not to be fight against the Kuna. The Kuna was for Sheva Kuna, Levi is for Sheva Leviya. We've got to know where our boundaries are. That's what the Pasuk is telling us, and Kipshut like Rashi, we shouldn't land up like Korach. Chazal came along and they said, they minimized it with dashing the rest of the Pasuk, Asher B'yad Hashem Moshe Eloi, that the ones that we learn from here, that's referring to the hand of Moshe. The hand of Moshe had Tzaras. So the Chachamim came along and said that the Oynish would only be Oynish of Tzaras, similar to the Oynish that Moshe Rabbeinu had. I just want to finish off with the Chasam Sefer, that he explains, he talks about the Machlokes in his day and age, which is, I think, is unfortunately, we could say it's also applicable nowadays. He says that v'loyek kerev chadosa, he explains the pasuk. He says that we shouldn't be machlekes like kerev chadosa. Asher b'yad Hashem Moshe Lo. He says in the time of Korach, what was Korach? Like we said before, he came, he antagonized Moshe Rabbeinu. He fought against Moshe Rabbeinu. It was a clear. He was fighting against Moshe Rabbeinu. He's saying Moshe Rabbeinu, you made up Narishkeit. It wasn't. It's not true. It's all nonsense. All fabricated. All distorted. That's what Korach was coming along. He said. So nowadays, Machlokes, says the Chasam Sofer, people on the contrary, they have a Shulchan Aruch, they have halachas, they have a Rebbe, they have a Rashiva, all back then, they have B'yad Moshe. They have, on the contrary, not fighting against Moshe Rabbeinu, they're using Moshe Rabbeinu as their backbone. That's what he says. Well, yeah, Kerev Chadosei, don't be Kerev Chadosei, and inclusive, Kasher Dibah Hashem B'yad Moshe Loi, don't even use Asher Dibah Hashem B'yad Moshe. Don't be a Korach, don't be a Baal Machlokes, using B'yad Moshe, using Teras Moshe, that's what Chasam Sofer says. And that is, unfortunately, like we said, that nowadays the Machlokes, the Bala Machlokes, they use the tools of the Torah, they use the Torah as the backbone. That's also inclusive in the Pasuk. And if we're mischazik in the Inyan, of this Inyan, not to be Machzik of Machlokes, that Chofetz Chaim writes in that Gdoma, that the whole Churban took place because of Simas Chinam, which most of it comes through Machlokes. As Hashem will be zeicher, like the Chofetz Chaim writes, will be zeicher to the Gula Shleimah.